A television series ends tomorrow night. That is something less than apocalyptic news. Television shows come and go dozens of times a year. But the finale of MASH, which ends with a 2.5-hour TV movie, has been surrounded with the pomp and fervor of a World War armistice or a state funeral. In a world of disposable entertainment, MASH has become something else, a primetime commercial television program about which people actually care.
You know, like what, your dirty socks or your dirty magazine?
This is my contribution. Radar left me this.
Okay, that's a cut.
It's just possible that there are more reporters and camera crews covering this fictional end of the Korean War than covered the real end of the real Korean War. Well, maybe that's not surprising. MASH has been a lot more popular. Through 11 seasons on CBS, through major changes in scheduling and cast, MASH became an enormous commercial success. The syndication sales for reruns may top $250 million. But does that popularity explain why the end of MASH was covered by three reporters? And why the chairman of 20th Century Fox received these telegrams?
It's addressed to the MASH team. It goes as follows. I am relieved to learn that peace is at hand finally in the Korean War. Nevertheless, I join your millions of fans in regretting the end of such a brilliantly successful show. Congratulations on its outstanding achievement. Best regards, Henry Kissinger. Another one, congratulations to all of the MASH crew on producing for all of us so many years of the very finest in entertainment. Good luck and God bless each of you, Jerry Ford. And finally, dear friends, Nancy and I welcome the opportunity to extend our greetings to all who gather for the MASH wrap party. This is a special night for all of you, and we know how proud you must be of your success. Ronald Reagan.
One by one, the stars of MASH tried to explain the sense of affection and loss.
Who was that?
Did we all have to do that?
Only some of us will try.
I think the things that we have said are universal and lasting. I think the pursuit of peace and happiness is something that will be always classic.
I'm feeling very sad and sentimental. While MASH is funny a great deal of the time, a lot of the time it isn't funny, and a lot of the time it's very moving.
We talked about the human spirit and the generosity of spirit that American and people all over the world are capable of, and that war hurts, and in the final analysis it makes no sense. People responded to that in droves, by the score. They appreciated what we did, held us up as an example of something that really they are, and clung to us.
There's never been anything like that. There's never been an idea for a show where you had people under the greatest stress possible, where people were dying, they were standing in other people's blood and hating it and having to do something about it and wishing they weren't there and going crazy from that and trying to regain their sanity through some act of insanity of their own.
On Wisconsin. No. That was O Shepherd, Guide Thy Flock.
Oh, I should have guessed that. I've danced that 1,000 times.
Shut up, will you? Shut up! You shut up, Frank! Everybody in this nut house, shut up!
We're a little late, folks, so good night from Name That Tune. Claim.
Mark.
Steve? Making a television series out of the hit 1970 movie was a difficult proposition. A war comedy set in Korea at a time when real Americans were dying every day in Vietnam.
Got it.
Got it.
How'd that look?
Writer-producers Gene Reynolds and Larry Gelbart.
We had to be very cognizant of the fact that our country was at war, and we just couldn't have a lot of hijinks in the camp, you know, while real people were being hit with real bullets.
I believe that the network saw it as a terrific service comedy, potentially. I think that was their concept of it. In the very early conversations with the network, they were afraid of the grimness, the sobering effect of operating with raw blood, of course.
No one ever saw blood in a half-hour comedy.
And I knew that it was essential that you had to show these men as heroes in the operating theater in order to justify their kind of craziness away from in the swamp.
How many does this make?
It's Colonel Blake. He's the one who puts notches in the scabbard.
MASH first demonstrated its intention to be a very different kind of half-hour show in an episode called Sometimes You Hear the Bullet.
You're my problem. I think I love you.
An old college friend of Hawkeye's come through as a GI, and he was a writer, and he wanted to see the war through a GI's point of view. Great reunion scene, lots of camaraderie. He goes off to do his coverage of the war, and he comes back as a patient, and he dies on Hawkeye's table.
60. Got the aorta. Give me some retraction and suction.
Father Mulcahy.
I can't get a pressure. I've lost the pulse.
I'm gonna open the chest. Give me a knife.
I said, give me a knife.
Pierce. Go help McIntyre.
And Hawkeye has a very touching scene with Henry Blake, in which he cries. And in which we see that he's affected for the first time by the death of someone.
I've watched guys die almost every day. Why didn't I ever cry for them?
Because you're a doctor.
The hell does that mean?
I don't know. If I had the answer, I'd be at the Mayo Clinic. Does this place look like the Mayo Clinic? Look, all I know is what they taught me at command school. There are certain rules about a war. And rule number one is young men die. And rule number two is doctors can't change rule number one.
I remember the biggest flack we got was when we wanted to kill Henry Blake. That was an unheard of thing to kill someone in a half-hour show where people only laugh and scratch, you know, you don't die.
I have a message. Lieutenant Colonel, Henry Blake's plane was shot down over the Sea of Japan. It spun in. There were no survivors.
Single episode of MASH broke more rules than The Interview, centering on the visit of an American TV crew to the MASH unit. It was shot in black and white and featured the improvised reactions of the characters to a newsman's questions.
I've been asking if something special is coming out of this in the way of medical or technical developments.
Oh, there are some things that get a practical trying out here that maybe wouldn't with the same speed back home, but when you counterbalance that with the frightful expense, the frightful destruction and loss of life, I don't think it's an equal balance.
Well, do you see anything good coming out of this?
Not a damn thing.
What do you feel was the most difficult thing you had to adjust to over here?
I think it's that everything is painted green. The clothes are green,
The food is green, except the vegetables, of course. The only thing that's not green is the blood. The blood is red, if that's what you get the most of here.
When the doctors cut into a patient, and it's cold, you know, why it is now, today, steam rises from the body. And the doctor will warm himself over the open wound. Could anyone look on that and not feel changed?
Favorite color? Dark blue. What kind of a question is that?
Just the general safe kind, right.
Oh. The success of MASH created a remarkable sense of collegiality on the set and a remarkable sense of loyalty. MASH executive producer, Burt Metcalf.
We all acknowledge that this has been a cocoon. I mean, it's like a family. It's I think, exactly analogous to growing up and leaving home. Any young person is aware of what that step means, but that doesn't stop them from doing it. They've all got to kind of go out there and fly a little on their own and try something else and live a different way of life. And so in that sense, we're breaking up the family.
The most frequently asked question is, why not more MASHes? The show produced enormous profits by breaking every rule in the book.
All the girls we left behind. Yeah.
The ratings were very low, but they recognized that it was too good to just put away. These days, we probably would have been canceled after two or three with those low numbers. It's a tougher, more competitive, more frightened industry.
That's a wrap!
They say, yeah, but that was a fluke. That was a one in a million. And rather than go after the two in 2 million, we'd rather, you know, stay on the safe side. So there's very little willingness to gamble. As a matter of fact, I think in many respects that probably today, if you tried to do MASH, you might not even get it on the air.